this retirement thing that we're going through with Vicki is not easy. We've never done it before. We've never had to do it here because we've all just been here forever. Some of you go, yeah, I know. But through Friday, it was just business as usual. And then even up to this service, I go over there and Vicki's in her office doing her thing and she just gets through. I say something to her and she says, I'll see you over there in a few minutes. It was just like it's always been. But last night, there was a retirement party and that sort of made it more real. And people came from all of those years and came back and shared in wishing Vicki well, but also recreating that family that had been. And there was a band there, Vintage Vinyl, which played old songs that those of us who were now in our 60s knew and knew the words to. Also, Garrett knew the words to him, and he's in fifth grade, but he knew all the words. But the one I wish I'd asked him for is the song, you know, it's Pete Seeger's song, That the Birds Play. And, Roger McGinn starts it out with those guitar chords, and I can't really do them. I hope Catherine could play it, but she said, no, I can't. But it goes, doon, 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 doon. For everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. And then it goes on. There's a time. So, there you go. A time to be born, a time to die. Okay. But there's an image that I want to share with you that in our discussions with Sonia and Vicki and talking about it, it came up for this time. And right now, September, we're almost to October. It's harvest festival time. That's also called Lammas. I thought it was called Lammas, and I was trying to figure that out. But it's Demeter and Persephone and the grain goddess. And the image there is of the seed. And in the seeds that are kept for next year, it's not just the harvest that we eat everything. You have to keep seeds for the next year. And in the seed, there's all of the future seeds that are ever to be. That's the image. But then if you think about that, that means that in the seed, there are all of the seeds that ever were before in that seed. So the past into the present for the future, the seed. Now, a lot of you are going, yeah, that's the genetic material and the DNA and yada, yada. But just think of it as that seed into the present and then on to the future. And think about where it's planted. It has to find a garden. It has to find good soil. This is an avocado seed. So what I want you to do is turn to 565 in your hymnal, and it's another Marge Piercy piece, and its connections are made slowly. But I want you to just look at one line. I mean, you can read the whole thing. We just don't have time to do that. Is that right? No, that's not the right number. Marge Piercy would be connections 568. And it's a whole thing about how things happen within a congregation and how they happen for a seed. But it goes on and it says this one line, live as if you like yourself and it may happen. Live as if you like yourself and it may happen. And all of that is within the space of this garden and this these connections, this soil. And that's what religious education, we actually just called it RE. That's what all of this does. It's now family ministry. And you realize that that's what all of this gives to our children, actually gives to us, that experience, those moments, that possibility. Just think about that. That's what the teachers, the people who volunteer and are down there with the children and are doing it, are creating. And that's what we saw last night in the return of all these children and young people and the diversity that we had in that room, three people at least who were, in the phrase, sort of gender ambiguous, and they were comfortable being in that setting and coming back, not even that, but coming back to be a part of that reunion together. Live as if you liked yourself. Live as if you like yourself, and it just might happen. Two stories that I'll share with you quickly. Try to do it quickly. One is that I shared with you the story in the newsletter, the story of my daughter Hannah coming into this congregation, and her sense all her life when she was little, from the time that she was two, she would hang on my pants leg right here and be right back like this. And people thought she was shy. But she had a question. Her question was, do I know them? Do I know them? And if I could tell her, yeah, you know them, she had that feel, she'd let go of my pants leg, and she was off in doing that. But she had to feel it. And I shared with you how Vicky came up and said to Hannah, Hannah would be like this. And I would be busy, and she'd come up and say, Hannah, come with me. You want to come help me? She let go. And she was off going. I knew that Vicky would take good care of her. I knew that she was in good hands. And I felt that every time. Well, that happens with every family and children, all the children that come in here. This congregation, they come in the door with that sense of, do I know them? Do I know them? And then we take them to Vicky or whoever's helping with the family ministry program, and then they get to know them, and they go off. They let go. They come out. They move out in the world. Live as if you like yourself, and it just might happen. There's another story that I wanted to share last night. I thought I was going to get to do longer. You know, ministers always think they can do longer. But I didn't. And it's the story of the family. I don't know if you remember them. Jennifer and Steve, and maybe some of you remember their children, Kendi and Dexter. Well, Kendi and Dexter were from Guatemala, and they were adopted when Kendi was 7. So how old? And Dexter was 9 months old. 9 months. So how old are they now? Kendi's probably 20-something. Right. So this was one of their first Sundays here. And our story for all ages, Vicky did this, was a story by Chris Bice that was published in the 1990s in his book, A Bucket Full of Dreams. And anyway, it was the story of God coming into a village. Okay? And she was dressed in this gorgeous robe, wearing a magnificent hat, and the village had a road right down the middle of it, and she walked down the middle of the road, and the village people were so excited to see her. They came out, and they just started talking about how beautiful God was. And then one of them said, she had on such a beautiful red hat. And the other person said, she was beautiful, but it was a blue hat. And they said, no, it was a red hat. Well, the village then began to argue about what color was God's hat. And then they moved into either side of the village, and this is a part of the story, they built a wall down the middle of the street in the 1990s because they were arguing about the color of God's hat. And they divided themselves. Well, then years later, God came back, and she walked on the top of the wall into the village, and they got talking, and they were so upset, and she wondered why they were so upset, and they talked about the color, or why they were so upset. And she thought back, and she remembered that when they were arguing about her hat, she went, oh, that day I was wearing the hat that was blue on one side and red on the other. There was silence that came over the village until a child started to laugh. Broke the silence, started to laugh, and laughed at the whole situation and all about it. The adults started to laugh, and they all came, and the wall came crumbling down, and the village came back together. But I was thinking, telling that story, because after Vicki told that story, and she made a hat that was blue on one side and red on the other, and walked down the center. So Kendi had just arrived from Guatemala just a little bit before, and she came up and said, Mom, Mom, God's a woman. Live as if you like yourself, and it just might happen. In that moment, she had gotten the vision of how it could be in the world. That was totally different from anything she'd ever known because of that story. I started to use that as a toast, but you can't toast Vicki as the goddess, you know. Here's to the goddess, the God. So in this moment, as a congregation, we wonder, do we know this? Do we know this? Can we go forward? So Vicki and Sonia are now going to come over, and they're going to say, look around. Yes, you know this. Say, look at this seed, and then say, would you like to help me plant it? And they're going to offer their hand, the garden of what's been before. Live as if you like yourself. Thank you, Vicki, for this grateful future. Where else, as a retirement gift, would you get an avocado seed?
Well, I just went downstairs and talked to the kids, and I was fine until the chalice singer started to sing. And then I knew every one of you before you were even born. So I just wanted to share with you this beautiful bowl, and it's very special to me. Oops. Mike Burrell made this bowl, and he used wood from the log cabin. And he gave this to me last night as a gift. And so I put the tokens for the children's backpacks in it because it's just, this is part of our tradition. And may I just say that last night was amazing, wonderful, and I can't thank MC and Gwen enough for all they did and for everyone and for the generosity of this congregation to give me this amazing new laptop and money and gifts. I got a new bracelet. I have new earrings and necklace. Anyway, thank you all. It was wonderful. This is a very special Sunday for me. It's my last leading our family ministry program and last as a member of the UUFH staff. But it's not it's not my last as a member of this congregation. My emotions today are all over the place. I feel grateful for the experience I've had over the last 20 years serving this congregation, learning about what it means to be Unitarian Universalist, getting to know the families, and making lifetime friends. I feel privileged to have played a part in the growth of our religious education program from just a few small children when I came here with my little boys to what it is today, and then to be a part of the transition from religious education to family ministry. I feel sad that I won't be carrying on this important work, but the time is right for me to leave this position. To quote one of my favorite movies, Fried Green Tomatoes, a lady always knows when to leave. And that time has come for me. I look forward to having a little more time to do more of the creative things I haven't had time to do in the last few years. I would like to create a line of decorative housewares to sell. My house has all kinds of projects that are calling to me and to Daniel. Sorry, honey. And my mother's health is declining, and I'm grateful to be able to spend more time with her. And I would like to sit in my favorite chair and read a book and say, I don't have to worry about being someplace else right now or doing something else. So I'm really looking forward to that time of peace. And leaving would be much harder if you all had not done such a great job hiring Sonia as our new coordinator of family ministry. She is going to do an amazing job leading our program forward. We've been working together for the past several weeks, preparing for her to take the reins. We are so fortunate to have found someone with her talents and knowledge to take this position. Things are going to be different. That's true. She will bring her gifts to the program and interpret the job in her own way. But I'm a firm believer in that change is good for an organization and for people. It leads to new approaches and new ideas. It creates excitement. I've already seen that in how she and Jim have been working together and planning together. I anticipated this transition would be difficult in that part, but it has gone very, very well. I may be leaving this position, but I'm not leaving this congregation. This is my home. I'll be taking some time off, but I plan to return as a member soon. I remember the first time I came here, when we first came here to check this place out, we sent Daniel 1 week, check this, they just got this building, check it out, let's go see what it's like. He came back and he talked for an hour about what he saw and the people and what he heard and how great it was. So the next week we all came and we never stopped. And my children stayed, surprisingly enough, stayed active all the way through high school. And though they're not practicing Unitarian Universalists right now, I know that in their heart that's what they are. I see it when I talk to them and when they tell me about things that have happened in their lives and about decisions they've made. This place gets you right here, and it stays here. I don't care how short a time you're here or if you're here forever, it's in here. And I see it in every one of you, and I look around this room and I think about all you wonderful people and how honored I am to have been part of this for so long. And thank you. okay.
She made me cry. So during the interview process, I was asked a question, which I remember as, what will you be giving up if you take this position? And my answer was the Sunday morning sermon. You see, I became a UU sitting in a little glass room where I could listen and absorb and where I could heal and find sanctuary. I came to this congregation about a year ago, and I was in that same place where the universe had aligned so I could take a little breath, a little hibernation, some time to rest and absorb and observe and get to know. I was walking with the groundhog, a little animal that spends its time watching and taking care and planning for the times when it would need to be busy eating my garden. The groundhog in my backyard likes to lay in the sun. And that's what I've kind of been doing around here. I've been basking in the in all the work that others have been doing. What I've lost in this transition is the time to hide away in the corner of the congregation and bask in the work of others. And I've been out of my spiritual quiet room for a little while now, as Vicki said. I've been mentored along by Vicki and Jim and the Family Ministry Council and our veteran teachers. And what I've gained from stepping out of the quiet room to join the hustle and bustle of congregational life has been so far very worth the sacrifice. I've been learning a lot about how our family ministry program works. Vicki's planted so many wonderful seeds, and having been in other congregations, I can tell you with confidence that it's really special, and to her credit, that we have clean, bright, enjoyable spaces for our children. It's to her credit that the children's classes are taught by teachers who love being with the kids so much and teaching our curricula so much that they stay even after their kids have aged out of the class they're teaching. It's to her credit that we have a strong foundation of traditions that the whole congregation looks forward to each year. I feel honored and a little overwhelmed by the strength of the legacy we have. Vicki's offered many times to be a resource to me and to family ministry as we move forward. And such generosity of spirits to be honored and used wisely. I'll be leaning on her for guidance for sure, for each new thing that I need to learn. I'll also be honoring the fact that she's retired, that she wants to be a member of our congregation, that she's looking forward to nurturing her friendships here, and that maybe now is her time to be in the quiet room, or if not, at least to bask in our collective work. She's reassured me that there are certain things that she wants to keep doing, like I really hope you're going to keep making those wonderful spirit play boxes for our Montessori-based classroom. And I'm really delighted that she'll be around and have the space to enjoy the congregation in a new way. In stepping out and stepping up to my new responsibilities, I found that I'm already growing in new ways, too. Jim and I meet weekly to share what's happening in the coming week for the kids, for the families, and up here in the sanctuary. And out of that, we've been able to work really creatively to develop webs of interconnection across the time for all ages, reflections, and classroom plans. So I haven't really lost Sunday morning, reflection time, or sermon time at all. It's more like I was getting to admire the finished piece, the flower arrangement, which was wonderful and healing. And now I'm getting to play in the soil, plant a few seeds of my own, and watch how it all comes to bloom. And that's a really powerful opportunity for me to grow. It's also a model for how we could work collaboratively as a congregation. It's kind of a pollinator garden. We can all get our hands in the making of this family ministry, creating little gardens everywhere. In other words, we can find opportunities for collaborative leadership and service to our families in all our work across the whole congregation. As the family ministry coordinator, what I actually coordinate is really up to us as a congregation. Families being as broadly defined as the congregation and as narrowly as the parent and child. Family ministry is the calling to enhance the relationships among the members of our family and our families. Family ministry is also the supportive efforts of parents and others to be spirit guides for those they care for and mentor. I want to spend my time getting to know you, to know how this congregation already serves your family and us as a family, and how we can grow together. Vicki and Jim have been planting seeds and tending to the daily work, and we together will be nurturing their vision and amplifying that potential. This is our place in the family of thanks.
I now have some things to give to Sonia, you know, just because we're passing the reins and we've done the paperwork part and the classroom part and all those things, but this is the stuff that really matters. First of all, a roll of masking tape, because you can never find one when you need one, but you need to have one.
Oh, I'm wearing that.
Then I will give you matches. Another thing that you always need, but you can never find. Matches, and I've made that little box. Okay. The keys to the RE cottage, because not many people have them, but we need to get in there. So there are the keys. and a walkie-talkie, her own walkie-talkie, because we have our new safety program in place, and you're going to need this. Well, you're going to need to have this. Let's put it that way. And I'd like you also to have one of the tokens that we gave the children and have my blessings and love in that token. And last of all, the seed. So if you will plant that, we'll watch it grow.
Okay, let's give it up for Vicky. Give it up.